Shout out to our sponsor, Holy Stone Distillery, Utah's luxury, award-winning distillery. Open for tours and tastings 21 years and older. Holy Stone's Perla Vodka is Utah's first grape-based vodka, which is too good to be true. Their Bozen Navy String Gin will blow your palate. It's the strongest gin in Utah, yet it's the most flavorful and extremely gentle on the palate. Holy Stone also makes Utah's first legal absinthe. Every time we share this absinthe to our friends, the look of joy on their face is priceless. These three items are located in both Utah liquor stores and within the walls of their distillery. Holy Stone also has the most beautiful, eye-catching purple Cerulea Gin, which some of the proceeds go to supporting breast cancer research. But let's not forget their Tsunami Sochu, which is made from koji, rice, and barley. This is the greatest compliment in any cocktail. Head to Holy Stone and Murray or hit them up on any social media platforms. Tell them we sent you and keep supporting local by buying local. Until the next spirits, my friends. This episode brought to you by Syrup Co. Syrup Co. makes simple syrups for your cocktails, coffee drinks, sodas, and more. Nate and Jacob started Syrup Co. in 2020 as a way for people to create tasty drinks at home that are easy to make and super accessible. They cook, bottle, and label every single bottle themselves right in Salt Lake. From their roasted jalapeno syrup using fresh roasted jalapenos to their cherry pie syrup using tart cherries from Small Orchard in Willard, Utah. They try to use the freshest and most local ingredients when making their syrups. With fantastic flavors and an Instagram full of recipes, they will not let you down. Find their syrups at a handful of locations and buy directly on their website by going to www.syrupco.com. Use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out on their website for 15% off your order. That's right. Tell them we sent you. Plug in the code TASTEMASTERS and save 15% off your order. Until the next syrup, my friends. You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, friends, super cool episode today. Here in Park City, I have a co-host, one of my dear friends, badass behind the scenes at the Westside Tavern, Miss Libby Taylor. Libby!
Hi!
You're one of my favorite humans.
You're one of mine.
Oh, stop. How you doing, girl?
I'm doing really well.
How was the drive?
Really good. It was beautiful.
I know, right?
So pretty.
I like these morning, early morning recordings because you can get that kind of view and still have great beer with great company. Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's a perfect day.
How's Brave Noise doing?
So good. I've gotten a lot of feedback, a lot of questions, a lot of conversations going. So I'm very happy
with it. So
it
worked.
Thank
you. Yeah. The chatter is happening.
The chatter, yes.
I love it. And I have in front of you one of your favorite people ever, and I fanboyed hard when I met him.
You heard.
Nils, welcome, dude.
Thank you.
Head brewer, Wasatch Park City. You love this place?
I love this place. I love this town.
This is home, dude.
I'm born and raised Park City, so.
Born and raised Park City.
Yep. Family's been here since, like, the late 60s. I moved away. I came back. Couldn't stay away.
So, Nils, my first question. So, your name, Nils Imboden, right?
Imboden.
So, where's this from? That's a unique name.
So my family's Swiss. My father came to America in the late 60s, was a restaurateur, opened up a restaurant here in Park City, was one of the longest operating fine dining establishments in the state of Utah, closed this past year. Yeah. So Adolph's Restaurant, it's been a Park City staple since 1973. And so I grew up here. And I just love this town.
So
and
you got to be a ski bum then, yeah?
Oh, that's why I'm here, man.
Still here, loving it.
Ski every day.
As I was driving, like telling Libby, you know, we're driving up here. I called you on the phone. We're like, dude, I don't know. I was in this view. Like you have the oldest, right? Oldest brewery in Utah.
Yep.
Post-prohibition. And then you have probably the prettiest view out of a brewery. That's hard to beat. You got mountains, Airbnbs on each side. You got Main Street.
Yeah. I mean, it's top of Main Street. We have people taking selfies down Main Street in front of the brew pub. So it's a good place to be. It's a good place to make beer. So I'm pretty.
And then
you
blew my mind with your copper kettle. I had no idea, dude.
Yeah, I mean, so like I was telling you, this building was built to be a brewery. So Wasatch started in '86 down on Iron Horse. and then moved here in 88 while this building was being built. And so it was literally built around the brewery. So it's a interesting building. It's an interesting place to brew.
But you're still liking it, yeah?
Yeah, it's great people
and
watching.
How
that's
long
for
have
sure.
you been here at Wasatch?
So I've been with Wasatch and Squatters for going on, I'm about 9 years. And then I've been at this facility for about 4.5.
Gotcha. Into brewing?
I feel like how a lot of us got into brewing. I went to the University of Utah, hated what I got my degree in, was making beer in my garage all along. And, you know, as a lot of us know, Utah has a really good home brewing community.
Yeah.
So then just, getting in with the right people and, having that Park City connection. I've known Greg Scherf most of my life, the founder of Wasatch. And then it sort of just spiraled. So, quit my, quote unquote real job and took a job at UBC in the cellar and did a little bit of everything there. And then, 4.5 years ago, got the opportunity to take the reins of this brewery. So,
and look at you, dude. And I know Libby talks you up all the time.
Oh, who,
great
me?
Stuff. Yeah. And she was excited when she did the Brave Noise here. Tell me about that, Libby. I want to hear about you doing the Brave Noise here in this brewery.
So we do a lot of our smaller batches here. Obviously, UBC has a huge facility. We knew we wanted to kind of invite a lot of the staff, a lot of friends to come and help us out, and it helps to have a smaller space. Nils is always a really warm host when we do those sorts of things, so we got some Pink Boots members, we got some of the service staff in, and we just spent the day talking beer, talking industry, talking cultural changes, and
I love it.
It was beautiful.
So what's the next beer you're going to brew here, Libs?
Oh my gosh, I'm taking a little breather. I did exhaust myself with Brave Noise. I'm still trying to focus on that for a little bit, but there are some really cool social justice beers coming up that I'm going to try to sell this guy on, so...
It's not a hard sell for you. I mean, from the beginning of the pandemic, we had Black is Beautiful, and we were one of the first in Utah as well to do that. Wasatch has always been a good partner with, either nonprofits or supporting the disenfranchised, through beer. We do what we can given the tools that we have. So,
So with that being said, I was going to ask you the question, what's beer mean to you, Nils?
Oh man.
It's kind of a loaded question.
That is a very loaded question. What does beer mean to me? Beer to me lately means community, especially here in the state of Utah. I've met some of my best friends, through beer. Through the collaborations, professionally and personally that have, and the opportunities that have been afforded to me through beer, so it's really been, beer is a part of who I am, at this point.
I like that. It's in your blood.
Yeah,
literally.
It is. It's an industry filled with such passionate people.
Yeah.
And that's pretty rare. And I think with most industries, most people look at their job as, you clock in, you clock out, you go home. But this is like a lifestyle for a lot of people. This is a way of living for a lot of people, myself included.
Just lucky to be a part of it and sit at this table with two awesome, powerhouses in the brewing industry in Utah. You guys are doing
That's
great
how
things.
I feel.
Boy, thank you.
But Libby, what's beer mean to you?
Beer is definitely community to me. It was, you spend a lot of time, just like Neil said, it's a very similar story. I went to school for one thing. I was struggling to kind of find my family and my people and where I felt accepted. And it amazingly happened, I was very lucky to already be in hospitality. But once I saw that switch, once I stepped foot in that brewery and started working there, I knew it was done for.
Yeah, it's kind of a slippery slope in a good way, right?
Absolutely.
Because I fell down that rabbit hole hard. And here's a little quick story for you guys that I just remembered. I tried to get my wife to like craft beer. When I started getting in the craft beer scene, we had an anniversary here in Park City, and the first place we started was here in this brewery, like right here. And then we did the whole pub crawl.
That's what I say. Start at the top of Main Street. This is like the best. Yeah, there's only one way to go. So the more liquored you up.
But she doesn't like beer. At that time, she didn't like beer. She does now, thank God. She looked at me. I remember we're over here in that corner. And she goes, "Listen, we're gonna go down Main Street. We're gonna have a beer at each pub we can." And I looked at her, going,
"Did you make it all the way down?"
Oh yeah, she did.
Oh wow, that's impressive.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, we were trashed.
I can imagine.
But I was so impressed with her because I remember her getting different beers she's never tried, I remember mixing, I think it was the blueberry and the jalapeno cream, like trying to make it like a garden, spicy.
Fruits and veggies.
So that's what I got, and she hated that. But you know what? She's a trooper. So this place is really cool. I have good memories, and I'm glad it's continuing. Like, because you guys just celebrated the 35th anniversary of Wasatch, right? So tell me about that. I want to know about this party you guys threw. Celebration.
I mean, it's crazy to be such a newbie in this industry and to have such a monster of a company behind me and a brand like Wasatch. But we did some great throwback beers that Nils made. We had a little party here. We had a nice employee party at the brewery. I thought it was really important for those guys there to make sure that, you know, even though we're kind of Wasatch and squatters in that building, that they, you know, there's still people who've been working for the company for 20 years, and they had a really big reason to celebrate. So we had a really great time.
That's really cool. And Nils, you've been this awesome throwback series. Those cans, I just love, their sex appeal to me. That's sexy. I love the cans, the labels. You went back to, tell me the story about how you went back to the labels.
Yeah, so the kickback series started sort of when we came into a can line here at this facility. And being Park City, you know, a Park City guy, I wanted to focus on, you know, this building and what this building was in terms of Wasatch. And that really was our original logo, you know, with the Wasatch Mountains. And, you know, we have a really talented graphics department, and they knocked it out of the park in terms of, you know, modernizing it. And so now it's a series that I think most people listening are familiar with. You know, it's it has some classics, you know, like our American Craft Lager, like what I'm drinking, and then the New England Double or UTX, which was like another spin on a series that we've had for the past couple of years. You know, just trying to keep it as local as possible. And then that sort of ties into, you know, what's going to be coming from Wasatch on a bigger side with like our Top of Main series. So our Top of Main series started here as our barrel aged facility. And as you've seen, I don't have a lot of space for barrels here. So that was sort of the main reason why I stopped a lot of my barrel aging program, just was a space constraint. But we saw such good traction with that Top of Main, you know, that's where we're at. That's where we started here. And so that's going to be a Wasatch brand that everybody should be seeing a lot more of in the next year. So,
So how much creative freedom do you have here at this facility?
A lot.
Yep. So then what happens if you wanted to, cause I remember one of the craziest beers I remember you making was a coconut curry
Kolsch.
Hefeweizen.
Kolsch. Yep.
And I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, I just blew my mind. Like I think coconut curry, I want to pair it with an IPA. That's what I think. But you went totally different. So tell me about that. Like how?
Yeah, I mean, so that was actually, so New Belgium has done a coconut curry beer for a long time, right? I like to explain the beer industry is like no one's trying to reinvent the wheel here. We're all just trying to like make good beer, and then those interesting flavor combinations. And so a former manager here, Amanda Howe at Salt Flats now, she was the one who actually brought that idea up to make that beer. That was definitely an interesting one, right? Because beer for me is all about balance and drinkability. So, you know, you have two very powerful flavors with coconut and curry, you know, and, you know, what is curry? Is it a spicy curry or is it more like a savory curry? So that was that was a fun one. We should bring that one back.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great.
Nils, do it. I'm okay with that. But what's another like a funky idea that's in the, either in the Nils mind or is it in the woodworks that it's kind of,
I'm always, you know, I try to travel quite a bit and, you know, I get a lot of my ideas from traveling. You know, like I think a lot of us do, you know, seeing new things and seeing new places. When it comes to me personally, I'm a purist when it comes to my beer. You know, like if you look at what I have on tap right now, it's like my one-offs. It's a, you know, a nice classic brown ale, Slick Rock lager, which is just an easy drinking lager. Our Kolsch, which I'm really happy with. You know, it's and then our wild hop beer, which is always a fun one to do too. But I like to keep my beers pretty simple, but there always is that realm for experimentation. You know, I work with Jason Stock down at Squatters quite a bit, and, you know, having the ability to make both Wasatch and Squatters beers here and put them into cans gives me a lot of creative freedom.
That's pretty cool. It's really cool because Jason Stock is doing great things over there. I had his Nut Brown yesterday, actually. And I texted him, I go, where'd you steal this recipe from? Because it was so good. It tastes like a Sam Smith. It was fantastic.
Yep.
Had just like that waxy walnut. Waxy is a bad word, but it had like that walnut kind of element to it. And then when it heated up, it was just a nice maple on it. Man, I loved it. I'm like, You don't make good English browns around here.
I mean, there's a reason Jason's been doing this as long as he has, right? I mean, that guy kills it. So
he does. And I just like I want. I'm gonna text him and be like, "Hey, put it in a cask. I want to see this in a cask." Ooh,
yeah, that'd be a good one.
It'd be fantastic. That's how that meant. It's meant to be, right?
Yep, exactly.
Oh, God damn. Nils, favorite style of beer to drink. Favorite style of beer to make.
Oh man, that changes. Right now, my favorite style of beer to drink is probably a Kolsch. We have some excellent examples, you know, coming out of Utah right now. I'm a big fan of mine. The new brewery here in Park City, Offset, is killing it with their Kolsch. You know, it's a, you know, beer that tastes like beer that has enough flavor, but is drinkable as well. And then favorite style to make, I really enjoy making our Polygamy Porter. You know, it's just a, it's such a classic. It's such a fun.
It is. And when we bring in the old labels back, that's another thing. I'm gonna fight this. I'm gonna do a petition.
I'm gonna defer that to Libby.
Yeah, it's definitely a conversation that's always ongoing. You know, it is such a staple, and it is such a recognized look and appeal. And it's
You guys got away with it, and like, don't let go of it. It's fantastic. And then the brilliant beer, that one needs to be changed. We talked about this. Brilliant pills.
Nilsner.
I love it though, but. Because you guys, with Wasatch, it's well known. Everyone knows Wasatch. It's one of the big, you know, powerhouses in Utah, if you will. And I feel like taking that away kind of, for me as a consumer of Wasatch, I'm like, damn, that kind of sucks. I like that.
Mm-hmm. It definitely changed things, for sure. Yeah,
people came in like, what happened to, like, it's the same beer.
You know, it's a learning experience for all of us, right? Yeah. I mean, rebranding's a part of any industry, right? And you know, sometimes you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong, and you know, we've taken the feedback, and it's
still growing, and I like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the thing, being 35 years old, you know, in the beer industry, everyone has this ideal of new is always better, right? Like, you know, like these the new beer, you know,
if you
got to stand in line for it, it's good, type of thing. And you know, it's beer here, we can always make more.
Yeah.
And so, you know, trying to stay true to our roots while innovating. It's always a challenge, right? I mean, we're a very large brewery.
You are.
You know, we're 23 states outside of Utah. Utah is our biggest market, and you know, we're going to keep it that way.
I like that.
And so we've heard the feedback, you know, in terms of our branding, and we'll get there. I'm not worried about it.
So Nils, going on that, other challenges as a brewer. I want to know for you personally. Not just a head brewer, but as a brewer yourself, what's some challenges that you face?
Yeah, you know, always trying to think of what's going to be the next big thing. You know, I think we're seeing seltzers obviously plateau. I'm not even going to go down the seltzer road. Don't get me wrong. I think a lot of, like, we all drink them, right? Like, they're refreshing, sure. But like trying to find the challenge, you know, for me is trying to find that next, you know, quote unquote, big thing.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen the juicy, we've seen the hazy. There's only so much we can capitalize off that, but trying to find, you know, what's going to be the next sustainable long-term bet for us.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge, and yeah, you know.
I see that. And I don't know how to, I mean, we're always trying to get ahead of the curve, or at least trying to be at that curve. But
yeah,
we
like to think
up.
We're trying to get ahead. Yeah. It's, you know, but the market really does dictate, you know, what we're making.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's hard to say. You know, brewers have been saying for, you know, the decade that I've been in the industry, oh yeah, pilsners are going to come back. Pilsners are going to come back. You know, like crispy boys are going to come back. You know, we can keep making them and we'll keep drinking them, but that's not what everybody else is buying. So it's a challenge for sure.
If you had it your way, would you have more pilsners on tap? More lagers?
I would. I just think we need to come back to more balanced beers. I think, you know, there's some, you know, we're all trying to do the best thing, but we also need to keep the lights on. So, you know, we can make these, you know, trendy beers, you know, to pay the bills. But I think a lot of us in the industry, you know, just like good, solid, balanced, drinkable beers.
Yeah.
So it's a fine line of, you know, doing what you want versus doing what you need.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Yeah. I'm just gonna sit here and just ponder.
It seems like, yeah, that's something I've always considered for you guys, you know, that are brewing. You do have this, you're artists, you know, you're craftsmen, but you do also have bills to pay. And so that must be such a interesting dynamic of how do I take something that's going to sell and you're still going to make it as delicious and wonderful as you can, you know?
Yeah.
I admire that.
Well, it's hard because I'm thinking about it, you know, on my side of the world, you know, the other side of the mountains. I love wit beers. but they do not sell in Utah County.
Yeah, they don't. they don't sell many places.
So. And so, but you know, as a brewer in the brewing community, we appreciate wit beers. We appreciate, you know, good aged barley wines. But if I were to release a barley wine, it's hard to make one and be like, okay, can we like hold on to it for 5 to 8 years ish or longer? Like, no, we got to sell it now. That's tough. It's tough to do for a style that I think is beautiful. And Jason Stock, we opened the 25th anniversary, his barley wine he made.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. I was in Nerdvana, as I call it. It was fantastic. But what's something you guys recently have tried from another brewery that you were just impressed with? Like, hell yeah.
Oh, I know mine. Yeah. Level Crossings, Red Sea Rift.
Yeah, that's the coffee one, right?
Yeah, their coffee stout. I mean, Chris slays it with his coffee beers. And you know, and that sort of brings it back to why I love this community. You know, Chris is one of my best friends. Him and I met when we were both homebrewers, and now you know, and now we're both professional brewers. And we've collaborated professionally before, you know, or in the past, and you know, probably will again. But that coffee stout is by, and he just released it, so please go buy it. It's amazing, but don't buy all of it. Save some for me, please.
About you, Libby.
You know, most recently I did have that Red Sea, and he's also doing, when I went, they were selling last year's and the new batch. Oh, cool. So I did a nice little side by side, which was really fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good. And then I was lucky enough to go check out Offset last Saturday too. And, the brown ale there, I think it was a brown ale.
Alt.
An alt beer.
An alt. Yeah. I mean, I'm a sucker for
it. So good.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen a lot of alt beers lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, jeez, yeah, TF. No, I mean, Bewilder's alt beer, I was very impressed with. And then Julia just made one in Springville.
Oh, nice.
Just put on tap this week, so that was good for you, Julia. Yeah, because she, first time ever making one, and I was really proud of her, and it came out fantastic. I loved it.
Awesome.
You guys, I saw you both at Oktoberfest day-ish, mm-hmm. and different celebrations.
Yep.
So when you guys see other brewers, you know, Nils, I mean, you're here in Summit County, right? But when you come to our neck of the woods, right, Livy? So what's it like to, you know, visit and see other friends in the brewing community? Be like, oh, yeah.
You know, it's, I like to joke, like, oh, I don't leave Summit County unless I have to go to Costco, right? Like, it is kind of an island up here, and people hold this, you know, Salt Lake. Let's throw Salt Lake, generalize it. You know, people who live in Salt Lake look at Park City as being so far away, right? And it's, you know, you're talking, it is, right? Like, I get it, especially if you're having some beers. It's not, you don't want to do that. But we're really close, right? And it does go both ways, and I'm guilty of it myself. You know, when I'm like, when I'm home or like when I'm up here, I'm just like, oh, why would I go to Salt Lake? But every time I go back down there and like where I first met you at the Ketos anniversary, it was just like, oh, this is why I need to come back down here more. You know, it's just like I see, you know, all my good friends that I've known for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all still talk in some way or another, you know, whether through text or whatever.
And thanks for, you know, being so open. I was a little... toasty.
You?
I feel like that hour.
Because I went to, Libby, you and I went to Oktoberfest at Templin.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when Kevin just keeps giving you the Edda pills he made, oh my God. And you have to drink it by the liter. Yep. You know it's Oktoberfest.
Yeah, you can't say no.
And
yeah.
Then, you know, having my buddy's wife driving our Prius to go to Ketos to support their celebration. And then I'm seeing all these people. I'm talking to Clay. I'm like, how'd you do this pickle beer? Like, I'm just like, a pickle beer? Like, I love it. It's one of these, like, you got to have one pint.
Yeah.
You know? And then Derek's like, Derek, get over here. Nils is here. It's Nils. So Nils, I had never met you, never knew who you were.
Oh,
I thought you were like some older guy, like Jason Stock, bearded, older guy.
No.
Hippie, Jason called himself an old grumpy hippie. So yeah. I thought you would be in that same characteristic. I'm like, oh my God, he's like my age. Like, it's fantastic. And I geeked out and I'm like, and you were so humble, so nice, and I appreciate that. And, dude, being here at the same table with you, I just want to pick your brain for the next, like, 17 hours. Let's make a beer. Let's talk beer. Let's drink beer. You know what I mean? And that's why – and Libby was talking about you before, you know, Libby talked you up. Like, Nils this, Nils that. I'm like, this guy's a good guy. And you have a good stain in the community, in our community, brewing community. It's not like, oh, Nils, yeah, fuck that guy. No, not once. And that's the thing is, you're passionate. You care about people, and it's spoken through your beer. So whenever you come out with a new release, like when I was at the Westside Tavern, your beers were on the shelf. I grabbed them. Like, fuck yeah, I'm supporting this guy. Hell yeah! And then I meet him. And I'm like, ah.
This is an industry of people, right? I don't think any of us are in this industry because we don't like people. And especially when it comes to, you know, the other brewers here in the state, you know, like we all have such a good relationship, and that's another reason I just love brewing here.
Yeah.
You know, cause we, you know, whether it's ingredients, whether it's ideas, you know, we're very open.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge, it's super important to the growth of our community, of our beer community.
Say that a lot. Like Utah's got a huge, awesome beer community, and we make fucking awesome beer. We make award winning beer here. Right. Mm-hmm. And I want everyone to know about it, but at the same time, I don't want to tell everyone. I want to kind of keep it a secret, right? Right. Don't. But yeah. It's a hard balance, right? Because you don't want everyone to come to the ski slope. You're like, hey, I want my mountains to be my mountains. Yeah. I want to ski. But at the same time, we have some damn good snow.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's how I feel with beer.
Yeah.
And it's that fine line, right? But Libby, question for you. Mm-hmm. When it comes to, so you see what Neil's doing here mm-hmm. and what you guys are doing on the other side. What's something you wish you guys were on the same page about?
Good question.
That is a good question. I do think that there's a bit of a disconnect when it comes to what's going on in the industry. And even I'm a big example of that. Like, I think I know what's going on. I think I know what craft beer is, what it's going to be, because I am that demo, right? I'm that consumer.
Sure.
But I am an educated consumer, and I have to recognize that. So I think it's still just that kind of heartbreak of we're going to make the best beer, we're going to make the coolest beer, we're going to make the most influential beer, but not if it doesn't sell. And so there is just this kind of weird disconnect, I think, in my building in particular, of getting out there and those guys experiencing what's going on. The men and women in that brewery, you know, have played a huge role, just like Nils has, in what this culture is in Utah. Mm. And I'd love to see them out and about. I'd love to run into them at the next Oktoberfest.
Yeah, that's really cool. Because I feel like sometimes going into work, maybe it's the production brewery side, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you just get worn out and tired of seeing that beer. Mm-hmm. Like, I know for me, I don't want to drink beer I made. Like, I've done it. I've drank it. I'm going to go drink my homies, all of them. Like, when your Brave Noise came out, Libby, I'm like, I beelined it. Fuck yes. It's new. Nils, when you get like, yes. And, you know, I see all these other, yes, I'm going to go try it because it's different. But I feel like people get burned out behind the scenes, unfortunately, and I don't know how to, come on. Maybe text. Maybe I got to start shooting texts to those guys. Be like, hey, come on, homies. Let's come get a drink with me. Yeah. I know yesterday when I was going to grab the brown, I hit up Derek and I'm like, hey, I'm stopping real quick at 147 just like I have 30 minutes. I have like, we can't talk a lot. All right. One pint, we're bouncing. He's like, yeah, I'll meet you. Hell yeah. And that's, you know, that was cool. You know, and I couldn't think of anyone else at the top of my head, like, all right, who's in the area real quick? And I should have just thought, but I think I like that. Let's try to get out there more.
I like that idea too. Maybe it is just us being, making sure we're asking everybody to come hang out with us.
Nils, I'm just gonna text you. Hey, get your ass over here. Let's go.
I'll be like, oh, it's in Salt Lake. Sorry, man. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I mean, to sort of build off Libby's thing, I mean, being as big as we are, you know, we have so many restaurants here in the state. You know, downtown with Jason, we have the two airport locations, which are killing it. Sugar House, this place, Westside Tavern, the craft cafe that we have. We have so many talented, passionate people just, you know, within Wasatch Squatters, you know, and making it, what I would like to see is making it easier for, like, you know, a guy on the packaging line has this idea for a beer, for him to come up here and make that beer, you know, that's then served at all those locations.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of what this facility is. You know, this is sort of the R&D facility. We test batch everything before we hand it off to UBC for mass production. And, you know, this is where, like, Juicy started. Juicy is now the most sold draft IPA in the state of Utah, right? And that was just through collaboration, through multiple test batches and, you know, seeing what sold and what people liked. And, you know, why is it up to me to come up with the next big thing? You know, we have so many passionate people in our company that could have the idea for the next big thing.
So how do we go about that? How do we go up to – how do we let those that we love that are – working in the trenches with us know that their voice needs to be heard too?
I think it's a very similar situation to what you were saying. And I mean, I felt that when I first came into the industry, it can be so intimidating and overwhelming. And you sit back and you listen and you don't talk for a long time. So maybe it is just kind of not prying it, but supporting them and making sure that they feel safe and supported and being and speaking out and saying, hey, you know what I like? Whipped beers. And I go, yeah, dude, let's go do that.
Let's do it.
What do you like about whipped beers? You know, like pick their brain a little bit. Hey, why? Uh-huh. You know, what kind of whipped beer do you like? What's your favorite whipped beer?
Yeah, well, and to speak to Libby's awesomeness, I mean, like, she's been the brainchild for like a lot of, you know, Brave Noise is her baby. You know, I just facilitated, and it's, you know, having people like Libby, you know, being able to work with her really is an honor, and to be able to, you know, use her brain to, mm-hmm. to build what we all love is just so awesome.
Brain, heart, and passion. I told you, Libby, I told you, you're a badass.
Yeah.
I told you, like, I remember when I was interviewing Libby, she goes, I'm not interesting. You know, you want to talk to me. I go, girl, yes, I do. And like, wouldn't you want to interview Libby?
Absolutely.
Libby, I told you. I saw it. Everyone sees it. You are awesome. Keep going, though. Don't let the pedal or the gas pedal out down. Like, keep going. Yeah. Just put it down. It's because
full throttle.
You got cool things coming out. Yeah, it's stressful. But Niels, how many times have you been making a beer that's stressful?
I mean, it's part of the industry. Yeah, I think you know, all of us go through our ebbs and flows you know, all of us go through that time.
But we have,
when we feel a little discouraged, but you just got to keep going. But that's easier said than done, obviously.
We have good support, though. I mean, you can hit us up anytime. You know, Niels, you want to bitch to me? Call me, dude. Call me.
I appreciate that.
I don't care what time it is. I might not answer at 3 a.m., but...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I go scream at the sky at like 2 o'clock in the morning, so...
Well, I hate to cut this short real quick, but we'll take a little halfway break. Does that sound all right for you guys?
Sounds great.
Sounds good to me.
This episode is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. Hopkins Brewing is located off 21st South in Salt Lake. Hopkins has live music, local art, and they use locally grown and sustainable ingredients in both their food and craft beer. Their food menu is off the charts. Their handcrafted beer is also fantastic. Upon checking out, use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off any food. That's right. Use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off your entire meal. Come get a pint at Hopkins and support your local brewers.
This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. Hey guys, it's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. If you like what you hear, want to help us out, go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help.
All right, guys, back. Super easy. I'm still geeking out that I'm in this place. Nils, this is really cool. How do you not, after work, you just get a beer and just like walk around? Because I really would.
I do quite a bit. Yeah. You know, I'll do my laps on Main Street, go check my mail down at the post office. Like, yeah, I mean, like growing up here, this is home for me. You know, it's not a vacation spot. And so it's,
But it is for most people.
Exactly. So it's a little different.
I never thought of it that way because I've only come to Park City for vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's in my own state. Right. But that's weird. Not weird. It's different view of that. You were telling me earlier that sometimes you like to just grab a beer, you know, and sit upstairs on the patio. And I love that. It's really cool to see your view. Like we talked about earlier, this is a pretty brewery, right? Well, what's it like when you're walking, you're making those rounds, and you see someone having a beer that you made, and just like be blown away, looking at it, just like, this is great.
Yeah, I mean, I wish that happened more, but I like seeing people drink my beer. But you know, being in, yeah, I think you have to look at what this place is for what it is. You know, we are a tourist town, so we get a lot of people here who are just like, oh, what's like, we still get people come sit at the bar, ask for a Coors Light type of thing. Right.
Gotcha.
And so you have to
Bud Light on tap.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like we get those people and I can always tell like that, like also by what they order, I'm just like, oh, this is a beer guy. Like he's going to dig those versus just like, I don't know, give me your lightest thing on tap. Right.
Damn.
Like, you know, so it's a different dynamic that we sometimes play with being in like a tourist town like we are. But it's still really cool. It's, you know, we have a real passionate serving crew, you know, who all really care and drink a lot of our beer, and it's,
that's good.
Yeah. It's great.
What's it like to you? How do you not like, I guess for me in a craft brewery, especially if I see when my friends have awesome beers on tap and then someone comes in, can I get a Bud Light?
I die a little inside.
Okay, so yeah. It's not just me. I'm like, God damn it.
I'm the opposite. I get really excited to show them something much, much better.
And that's the service side. Like, yeah.
But, Libby, how do you go about that? Because for me, you know, I look at that, I'm like, I see, you don't appreciate this art. Mm-hmm. See these canvases in front of you?
Right.
You don't appreciate this? And you're looking at it as, well, let me get you to appreciate it.
Sit on back. Watch this.
It's like when someone comes in and orders a bottle of wine, I'm just like, you got to be kidding me.
So how would you go about that, Libby?
The Utah craft beer scene is so varied in what people know, what people drink, what people like, that it's kind of a staple of when I became a server, especially when I started to work for Wasatch, that was what you knew. If somebody was going to come in and order a shock top, here was what you were going to recommend. I think as my education became more founded and broader, it's a lot more fun for me to walk them through the whole process of what Bud Light, when they say that to me, I want a Bud Light, what they're really saying to me, you know, is I'm looking for something light, drinkable, you know, not...
Just crush a couple of these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's easy to steer them towards something on our menu that we make that we're very proud of, and I'm going to explain to them why it's better, and... the little bitty nuances that they're going to get that they're not going to be so scared of.
Fucking awesome answer, dude.
It's like you should be a restaurant manager or something.
Oh, man, you should be. Oh, Olivia, that's awesome. So you had the same, if you had that, you have that passion and you can give that to your staff and your staff can be on the same page. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Then Nils and I wouldn't be so uptight about, how dare
you guys are emotionally invested in a way that I fully appreciate and stay that way because it's going to keep you making killer beer if you care about it. So don't lose that passion. Let me handle the Bud Light orders. Shit. You got it.
Can I make clones of you? Can I have one here in Park City and one in Utah County? Oh, that'd be awesome. You know what, Nils? For me, it's humbling. I don't really, because I die inside, like you said. I really do. And one of my jokes, and I hate saying this, but I'll go to lunch and I'll look at the bartender, whoever it is, one of my friends always, and I'm like, can I get a Bud Light, please? Every time. It's like the same joke you hear 15,000 times. Yep. And people are just like,
it's a good dad joke.
This point, 100%. That's my one dad joke.
Yeah, it's getting good.
And so Derek actually dressed up as me for Halloween.
I saw that. That was
so
beautiful.
So he put on a wig and my podcast shirt. Mm-hmm. And he went up to at lunch and I don't slam the table, but he slams the table and he goes, do you guys have Bud Light? I want a fucking Bud Light. And I'm like, oh my God, I do that. I'm that guy. My dad joke has now become part of me. But Libby, you've opened my eyes, and I appreciate that.
Hey, you got it. You know, that's the beauty of a knowledgeable and educated staff and consumer. And
yeah, because when knowledge increases, behavior changes towards whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot.
We're out here fighting the good fight.
Oh, we are, right? That's
And what Libby does for our entire company in terms of beer education for our servers is insane. It's, you're doing weekly updates that I can't imagine take you how much time. And
it's because I have to wrangle up 4 brewers and say, what are we doing?
We're humans.
We're not the easiest to send an email. I know that.
Nils, when it comes to Libby, what's something that Libby, you want to see more from Libby? What's something that you want to help her grow in this industry? What's something that she can do that?
I'd like to see Libby more on the production side because I do think she has a lot of good ideas and I think she has that passion. And it's hard to peel her away from the service side because she's also so good at that.
She's really good at that.
Yeah. So it's finding that, you know, like not necessarily brave noise, but just like more of that, like getting you more involved in the, you know, A to Z of making the beer.
Oh, absolutely. And I think my brain craves it, you know, just that full understanding of how this whole process works.
I love that.
I would love to see and know and, the goal I set for myself is at some point to be able to brew a beer in this building with Nils not here. He can sit on the patio and drink a beer.
That's
and
awesome.
I got it.
Yeah. We already talked about what beer that would be.
Oh yeah. Pickle wit. Extra fennel.
I don't know if I can be in the building for that.
Nils is cringing and dying. It's worse than the Bud Light question. No, but you were talking about collaborations earlier. You did a bunch of collaborations. What's the most recent collaboration you did?
Probably Three Weavers. So, you know, being as big as we are, being part of Canarchy, we have some of the most knowledgeable people in the world when it comes to beer. You know, we have
that's really cool.
Brewers at Cigar City giving talks all over the world. We have, you know, Deep Ellum down in Texas, Perrin in Michigan, Oscar Blues, which has just such that'd a huge really cool. following. But the most recent one was with Three Weavers, and they're based out of LA. So formerly a Canarchy company, but just being able to work with those people and, you know, Alex, their head brewer, she's just amazing. I mean, she's one of the most well-regarded people in the nation when it comes to beer.
It's really cool.
And so that was a really fun one to do. Yeah.
I like you guys doing collabs. I like, it keeps it fresh. It keeps it going. Let's see. Yeah. Who else have you want to collab with?
I mean, I have collabed with Level Crossing, Bewildered, except I don't think Bewildered was a thing. I collabed with Cody from Bewildered.
Is that before he could sell beer?
I think so. I think so. I'm going to count as a collab, given that we've helped each other out quite a bit. You know, Brian at Two Rows, one of my good friends.
Get that fool on this podcast. I want him to pick his brain.
Oh, he'd be a fun one. I don't know who the next collab is going to be. Probably Offset, you know, really dig in on that Park City love. And Patrick and I are really good friends as well. We've known each other, you know, since we were both homebrewers as well. So we've known each other a long time. And, you know, to see him in his journey has been really cool. And, you know, so to be able to do something fun with him, I think is probably in the near future.
Gotcha. Who's someone in the brewing industry you look up to in Utah?
In Utah. Oh, good question. I'd like to say at least my current boss, Adam Curfew, just to see also his journey. You know, he started at the bottom at UBC and sort of has done a little bit of everything and is now leaving to just follow his passion even further and become a baker. You know, and I just That's really, cool. I just really respect that. You know, he went, put himself through the University of Utah, chemistry degree, you know, very intelligent individual, and now just like really staying true to himself and following his passions. I madly respect. So
I like that. When someone follows their passion,
mm-hmm. yeah,
like they're like, no fucks given. Like, I'm going to do me. I have such a respect for that. I really do. Cause yeah. it's, you got to swallow a little bit about that. You got to hold up and like, hey, that's, I hate this word, but ballsy. Like,
it takes a lot of, I mean, yeah, know, especially to do what he's doing. No,
it
yeah,
really is. It's, for sure. It's wonderful to see people set that example, and it's completely contagious, you know, because people like you and Nils, you know, saying these wonderful things about me at this table are going to help me go home and figure out what it is I'm going to do next, you know.
Well, so they'd be really like, let's nice talk about this. Like, I want, like, there's spotlight on you right now. Who's someone that in the brewing industry that you look up to that you want to do a collaboration with?
Oh, man.
Nils is right in front of you.
You know, I love and respect so much my Pink Boots girls, and I think I would just go be giddy to be the next person to be man. In that Lauren Jackie brew day. I want to sit in on one of those. That looks super fun.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Big same. Yeah, that's really cool. That's a great answer. So start thinking of something.
Yeah, let me just do it.
Yeah. Start thinking of it. All right. You don't got to say it to us, or you don't got to, like, you know, let's say in 17 years, it'll be done. They give yourself like, oh, it's a big, 20 years, I'll do this. But like, mm-hmm. start thinking of some cool recipes.
Yeah, for
something
sure.
Something that will, you know, invoke the Pink Boots aspect, but speak, it says Libby. Mm-hmm. You'll think of it. I mean, it probably won't be done tomorrow, but girl, I promise when it does come out, yeah. you have great friends that will support you.
Absolutely.
Thanks. And I'm excited for you. Oh, that was my wonderful. God. I love this collab. You got to keep going, because Pink Boots, man, because like, hung out with Lauren last night, mm-hmm. and like, she's infectious.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
I looked at her and go, girl, how do you have so much energy? And she looks at me the same way. How do you have that much energy? I'm like, girl, you don't see me behind the scenes. Like, I'm tired. I drive a Prius. Like,
We had that collaboration festival, a couple of years ago. Is that still happening? Do we know what's happening there? Anybody?
Collaboration festival?
So,
yeah, wasn't that supposed to, it was like right as COVID hit.
Oh, yeah, we were going to do, yeah. So we had just done the Pink Boots Brews. I was just telling him this story. It was like, what were you doing pre-COVID, right? Like
BP.
BP, before pandemic. And I was here brewing the Wasatch Pink Boots beer. And then I went out of town for a little bit and came back. And then we did our big Utah chapter Pink Boots Brew at Proper, and then you know, 3 or 4 days later, everything had shut down. But we did have this wonderful Pink Boots Beer Fest planned. We were going to have it at the Garden, and every brewery was going to bring their brew, and then we were going to have our big collaboration. We should definitely look into doing that again soon. I think we're all just kind of still in recovery mode, but we will be thriving very soon. And yes, we should have a big old Pink Boots collab fest.
And your ass, Nils, will be coming to Salt Lake.
Yeah, okay.
Because I have to go. I have from Utah County. I have to go up to far land Salt Lake.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have to.
Yeah, it's really not that far. Like I was saying, it goes both ways.
But if you want any place to stay, I got an extra room.
All right, I appreciate it.
And a bidet.
Oh, so perfect.
Oh, the bidets.
The bidet.
Everybody with the bidet.
Everyone needs a bidet. That's all I'm gonna say.
Is that a sponsor?
No, not yet.
It should be.
If I could be a spokesman for a bidet, we've talked about this. I would 100%. I would sell you on one. It'd be the best thing ever. So, Nils, what's some future goals you have for you personally outside of Bring as Nils? I want to know, let's look at the nitty gritty. What's some personal future goals, dude?
Future goals. That's a good question.
We talked about passion. We talked about, was it Adam leaving to go for bakery? What's something that Nils wants to do?
I mean, I've always had this, like, if you know me, I live up in the woods. Like, I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere. And I've always had the idea of just living off the land and being like, I don't know, some organic goat farmer or something. It doesn't have to be goats. I mean,
straight goats.
not solely goats, but just having, I don't know, being content and working, benefit myself and my community. And you know, honestly, I got the best job and I really love where I'm at. And, that's awesome. You know, being able to partner with such good organizations here in the county, Habitat for Humanity, I've worked with extensively, Summit Land Conservancy, Wasatch Community Gardens, Backcountry Rescue, dealing with avalanche dogs, just like the amount of doors that have been opened because of this, I'm sure will lead to something that it'll come full circle. And honestly, I don't know. I'm a one day at a time kind of guy.
I like it, brother. I like it. And then what about as a brewer? What's some future goals for Nils as a brewer? Not just Wasatch Nils, but as a brewer. What's some goals for you, brother?
I BP, before pandemic, we had a really cool, we had a really cool program set up between Canarchy where we would go and work at like other facilities, across the nation.
Oh, cool. Like Cigar City and that
Cigar
kind of stuff?
City, going out to Asheville to work at Oscar Blues over there. Just doing something like that, I've been with Wasatch and Squatters a long time, but anytime I go to another brewery and I start picking someone else's brand, I always learn something new. And to be able to bring that back here.
And implement that.
Yeah, it may not be something new, or it just may be something like doing a process in a slightly different way that's more efficient. Yeah. I'm all about efficiency. I'm a math brain kind of person, so... do something like that, just collaborate more with my local folks.
Yeah.
It's been a weird, 2 years for a lot of us. And so to be able to get back into like the normal swing of things and just working with the awesome people that we have here in the community is something that I look forward to in the near future.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Cause we all, like you said earlier, we're all trying to make good beer. But how do you make good beer? How do I make good beer? How do you make good beer?
Yep, exactly.
You know, and so let's all just kind of share ideas. And that's why I love this community, is because we're all sharing ideas. We're always like, I can reach out to somebody like, hey, how do you do this? I'll show you. I'll tell you. Because I had this recipe idea for a whip beer. We joked about it, but I really do have this whip beer idea. And I reached out to Cody from Bewilder. I gave him my idea. And this is his response. And I love it. Where'd we go wrong with you?
How did we hurt you so?
So once I did it, I'm like, you know what? How can we, because I have a novelty idea. It's kind of hip, sexy, it's different, it's new. I have cool, fascinating, far-fetched ideas. But he's like, how can we make this into beer, as a beer? I'm like, I got to start thinking. I'm like, that's why I like picking brains. Mm-hmm. I'm like, because I surrender to the fact that I don't know anything.
Yep. I think that's a really important, thing to, especially just in life, knowing your knowledge limits. We can, I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. And it's,
I love that. Can I steal that? Put on a shirt at least.
You're a master of a few, right? I mean, I feel like I know beer pretty well, but I already know I don't know everything. Yeah. And being able to keep that humbleness through no matter what you do with life, I think is really important. It's just knowing your knowledge limits and being open to criticism. I think beer is hard, right? I mean, I think we've all judged, Beehive Brew Off or some type of beer competition. And I've had people write like really because your email goes on the scoring sheets. And then I've had people write like really interesting emails back to me being like, how could you? Like, this is not what it is. And I'm just like, listen, really? Man, this was my perception of it. And so it's, needless to say, I don't see those names entered too much more in the future. Like, if you can't take criticism, like, you're not going to thrive, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know what, you know, for a beer, like, I can be like, you know what, maybe that does have a little diacetyl. Maybe that does, it's a little too bitter. And being able, I may not think that, but being able to see it from another point of view, I think is really important. Right.
Absolutely. When you were homebrewing, was there a critique or a criticism that you got that, like, really guided you and helped you kind of step up?
Yeah, on the homebrewing side, I think it's just approaching the beer in a more holistic approach when it comes to design. I mean, you could have a great IPA, but if it's like peeling the enamel off your teeth, then like you know, balance, I guess, was the biggest critique that I got and sort of ran with. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, everyone has a hard time taking critique. Mm-hmm. It's just, right? But I don't know why. But once you can kind of take it with a grain of salt, as cliche as that sounds, it can be better. So Nils, one of my final questions for you, one of a few. But when do you see it's time to hang the boots up?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not answering that. I don't. Not anytime soon. I can tell you that much.
Thank God, Olivia. We have Nils for a few more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going anywhere. Like I love Utah. Like, I love to ski. I love where I'm at. It would have to be a really big, meaningful change for me to sort of move on from at least where I'm at right now. Just like with the support that we have here at Wasatch, you know, that I have here at Wasatch, with all the talented people. I haven't seen it in a lot of places. So like, I know how fortunate I am and I really appreciate that. And I'm going to do whatever I can to.
And you're humble, brother, and you're grateful, and that's palpable. So thanks for being you. Like,
oh, I appreciate
and that. The fact that you took time out of your Saturday to hang out with me and Libby, like, that's really cool. Thank you so much for letting me, not being embarrassed by a slightly drunk David when you get introduced, you know.
Well, I could tell how passionate you were. And you know, it's infectious. Like,
okay, I mean, I hope it is.
Those people don't come along often, so it was really nice to see your passion and to see your...
Oh, brother, dude, I geeked out hard. I apologize, but, like, holy shit, Nils, like, to be here at this table and to see where our features are going to go. Like, I'm excited. Like you're saying, I just want to come brew here. It's in Utah, but I'm going to come.
You're welcome anytime.
I'm going to watch you. Like, and then what techniques you have in an older system, right? A copper kettle.
Copper kettle.
I got to go get me one now.
Oh, yeah.
No, but Libby, what's some final questions you have for Nils today? Or feedback?
I think, you know, I love talking about his homebrew background. I don't know much about it. Was that kind of when you, how long were you brewing before you started like getting super serious?
I mean, I went 0 to 100.
That's about right.
Pretty quick. I mean, like a lot of us who start homebrewing, you know, you find that thing, you know, growing up in like a culinary background and, you know, enjoying the flavors of things and enjoying the creation. I really dug that aspect of, you know, being able to design something. Being like, okay, if I up the, let's say, chocolate malt by 3%, what's the difference going to be versus 5%? And so that's sort of what spiraled it for me. And you know, like I said, I went to the University of Utah, got a degree in electrical engineering, was working for a government subcontractor out by the airport, and it was just, you know, cubicle work, and it was pretty painful for me. But you know, like what got me through my days is just like thinking about what I'm going to dry hop when I get home, you know, like,
that's, you know, and, so amazing.
And then,
I like that.
And then, yeah, entering competitions and then just getting in with, you know, the really, you know, we have Latter Day Brewers. We have so many talented like homebrew organizations here in the state, you know, where I've made some of my best friends, and it's, that's sort of how it spiraled for me. And then just, you know, I was bartending also on the side for some extra money. And like I said, I've known Greg Scherf most of my life. And he was just like, well, you know, bring some of your beers by UBC, bring some of your beers by the co-op. And so I would do that and sit down with, you know, Chainsaw and Mark Robinson and John Lee and Dan Burek and just like, you know, some of the most passionate people I've ever met in this industry. And then, you know, them being like, oh, this is pretty good. Or like, this is where you can make it better. And then I think what they saw was like me then coming back with the next version and being like, so what, so this is what I did different in terms of your feedback. What do you think? And they're just like, okay, okay. And they're like, so we got an opening in the cellar. What are you thinking? And I'm just like, done.
Yeah.
Done. You know, and it was, yeah, like I said, That's an awesome story. Coming up on 10 years ago.
Where you just like stars in your eyes, like when he's like, I'll bring your beers over here.
Yeah.
Just like,
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, Greg, what he's done for this industry, you know, on a national level and in the state, it's, you know, it's there's bar none. It's, you know, we wouldn't be where we're at without him and, you know, just lobbying the legislature to make what most of us do legal. You know, how many more years would that have taken type of thing, yeah, right?
For sure.
And how many years back would we be if it wasn't for him? You know, and that's a testament to his passion and to his business skill. And, yeah.
Can't wait to meet that guy. Never met him. I'd love to.
He's great.
He's around.
Yeah, episode two. That's gonna be part two.
He's around.
God damn, that's super cool, guys. And Libby, thanks so much for taking the time out of your Saturday to be here and hanging out.
My pleasure. And I was looking forward to it. As much as I talk him up, I talk you up as much too.
Stop.
Wander around, tell everybody how amazing you are and how enthusiastic and passionate you are.
Thank you. Yep. I appreciate the compliment.
It's wonderful.
Thank you. I'm trying to be better at. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nils, can't wait to see what else you have in the back doors. See what you're gonna come out with in the woods. You know, you make great beer, dude. You're a good beer maker.
I appreciate that.
If I'm a fan, and I will be a fan until I die.
Awesome.
But if you need something, let me know. But my last question for you: is there anything that I, as this Tastemaster platform, is there anything that I can do to help you at all, or as a brewer, as a novice brewer, is there anything I can do?
Tastemaster Beer Festival, like a collaboration. Well, like, I don't know. Like that would be, I don't know. Start thinking big.
Okay.
I mean, you have a great platform, and you've met a lot of people, and I think just capitalize off of that, and you know, a lot of us already know each other, and you know, be that common link and be that common spark, and I think we can make some awesome things happen.
Oh hell yeah! As a community, hell yeah. Well, again, guys, thank you so much for this awesome, beautiful Saturday. Anything else you guys got for me?
No. Thank you. Thank you for coming up. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I'll make that drive any morning. Except for a snow. Yeah. Well, until the next beverage, my friends.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter @TheTastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow @Fuse_Audio.